This is the Artist Empowerment Radio Podcast. Now, here's your host, Bob Baker.
Hello and welcome to episode 50, that's right, 50 of Artist Empowerment Radio Podcast. Yes, it's a milestone episode, and it actually falls at a milestone time of my life. As I record this, it's June 7th or 8th. I don't have a calendar in front of me. It's either, I think it's the 8th of June 2010. And at the end of this month, I celebrate a birthday on June 29th, to be exact, and I will turn 50. Yes, 5-0. So episode 50 comes in the month that I turn 50. You know, I'm not getting depressed about it. I'm actually very upbeat, feeling good about it. Recently stopped dyeing my hair, and I went with the gray that I've actually had off and on since I was a younger man, got prematurely gray, and I resisted it when I turned 40. I said, no way. I started dyeing my hair again. I wasn't ready to give in to that that wise look, but now that I'm at 5-0, I feel that it's appropriate, and I'm getting a lot of compliments on it. So not sure why I veered off into the hair topic, but anyway, welcome to episode 50. On this one, I'm going to be talking about some points that were made by Seth Godin. I'm sure you've heard me talk about him before, and if you're not familiar with Seth, I highly recommend that you check out his websites and his books. I've got a link to this particular blog post in the show notes on my website. But if you're listening to this, like on your iPod or something, you can just Google when you have a chance, Seth Godin, S-E-T-H-G-O-D-I-N, and I'm sure he'll pop right up and you can find out more about him. But this is one that Seth posted recently. It's called 16 Questions for Free Agents. And as I looked over this list of questions that he had, I said, boy, these are some amazing, insightful questions that any creative entrepreneur, any artist, any creative person of any type should really ask themselves. These are definitely great questions to ask if you're on the verge of starting a new venture. But even if you've been at it for a while, even if you're making a living or doing something sideline, these are no matter where you are on the creative journey, these are great questions to ask yourself. So let's just go over these great questions. I'll give a few points, riff on them a little bit, and hopefully they'll give you some food for thought. So one of the first questions that he has here is, who are you trying to please? This is a great question to ask as you pursue this creative passion of yours. Who are you trying to please? Well, first, of course, I believe the first step that any creative person is trying to please themselves is something that you're passionate about, that you love doing. You get, you know, you lose track of time when you're immersed in this. So I guess number one would be you're trying to please yourself. But from a business standpoint, when revenue comes into play, who are you trying to please? And this was a question I actually asked and answered myself early on in my book publishing career, when I noticed that a lot of artists were out to try to please people in the industry. They were trying to please A&R people or radio station program directors, all these people as part of the machine of the industry. That's where a lot of the focus of a lot of artists' attention were on. And same thing with authors. They were trying to impress librarians and book reviewers and, you know, publishers and editors at the big houses and all this stuff. But I did not take that approach. I decided that my real goal was to please the end user, the readers. And for my books, they were independent musicians. So that was a very important question or distinction that I made early in my book publishing career that really helped me focus. It steered the way that I marketed myself. It helped me determine that the internet was the best way to go directly to the end user to, you know, bypass the middleman, which a lot of people are doing now. And so ask that question, who are you trying to please with this creative endeavor besides yourself? The second question that Seth asks is, are you trying to make a living, make a difference, or leave a legacy? Wow, that's a great question too, because there are different ways of answering that and of looking at it. My recommendation is that you should be focused and motivated to make a difference in some way. Focus on that. You can still have aspirations to make money and to make a living, but if your sole focus, or if you're, like, what happens is a lot of people, someone will lose their job and they've had this sideline interests in artwork or photography or music or whatever, and they think, oh, well, this is a great opportunity for me to, you know, start making money with this thing. But there's sort of a sense of desperation because of their employment status, or maybe, you know, there's not a lot saved in the bank. And so the focus is on, I got to make money from this right now. And I've been in that situation a lot over the years. And I can tell you it's sometimes a very frustrating one. So as if you have to make money with it now, that's all that you're focused on, and the whole the making a difference part takes a back seat. So ideally, you want to be in a situation where your financial needs are met and you're focused on making a difference with your art, leaving a legacy, not just putting out some cool stuff in the world, but really impacting people's lives in a meaningful way. Again, I'll use a self-reference here with my books, with my resources, when I'm, you know, speaking at conferences. My mission is to inspire people, to empower them, to make them aware of the gifts and the power that they have that they often don't give themselves credit for. And when I stay focused on that, a lot of the the money-making aspects of it sort of come up as a byproduct. Not that there's not effort and certainly quite a lot of energy that you have to put into the sales aspect of it. You have to get comfortable with asking for the sale and making offers and all that good stuff. But if you're if you stay primarily focused on the mission and making a difference, it's going to help you out, in my opinion, a lot better. Question number three on the list is, how will the world be different when you've succeeded? That's another cool question that kind of ties into the previous one. Whatever you're doing, kind of visualize what the world will be like. What is the end result that you're after? It could be that you want to put a book out about the environment and encourage people to use natural resources instead of oil so we can avoid the BP oil spill that's the disaster that's in the news right now. If that was your goal, to put out a book on this topic and to educate people and inspire them, then how would the world be different? Obviously, you could visualize that. What is your end goal? Even if it's just putting out music that makes people have more fun at parties or makes them smile or dance, you know, it doesn't have to be a big, you know, solve world hunger. It doesn't have to be your ultimate goal. It can be something as simple as adding a little entertainment to people's lives. So whatever your endeavor is, visualize the end result. What does it look like when people are enjoying and benefiting from it? And how will the world be different? What kind of change will you make with this creative thing that you're doing? Another question here, it's a good one. Is it more important to add new customers or to increase your interaction with existing ones? Another great one. In fact, I keep running across blog posts about this. So this is a kind of a reoccurring theme that I've run into. And it's something that you really need to think about. Because a lot of people are just concerned with bigger is better, especially if you're leaning toward the old paradigm of the hit world where, you know, you're in the consciousness of a lot of people. You think in terms of thousands, millions of people need to know about you to be successful. And if that's your mindset, whether you're aware of it or not, you may be driven to just, you know, get more and more and more and more fans, more and more people on your mailing list, which is cool. I mean, you should aspire to reach as many people as possible. However, you might be shooting yourself in the foot by not interacting with and establishing bonds with the people that are currently in your sphere. You know, if they're already aware of you, they're coming to your shows or they're supporting you in some way. And so actually, since we live in a world of niches now instead of hits, it's a world of niches where you're serving smaller groups of people, but you're serving them well. It might be more effective for you to at least put as much effort into interacting with your existing customers, your existing fans, as opposed to always be focusing on more, more, more new fans, new customers. I'm not going to get to all 16 questions in this short podcast, so I'm going to skip around a little bit, jump to number 7. That question is, are you prepared to actively sell your stuff, or are you expecting that buyers will walk in the door and ask for it? Boy, from a marketing perspective, this is a crucial question to ask. Are you prepared to be fully immersed in the sales process and asking for the sale and describing it in ways that will inspire people to buy? Or do you think if you just make the better mousetrap that people will beat a path to your door? Now, there are some times when people who aren't marketing savvy, they just create something that's so remarkable, so incredible that a few people hear it, they tell their friends, and then a snowball effect takes place, and then people are pursuing you. That can happen if what you create is incredibly remarkable to where it's something that an idea that will is worth spreading. However, most people have to do a little bit of work, and sometimes an awful lot of work, on the selling and the marketing and the creating awareness aspect of things. So are you prepared to get over this hump of marketing is evil, it's a drudgery, it's a chore, you know, and embrace it and make it a part of what you do? Or are you just expecting people to walk through the door? Because quite often, they won't, unless you do a little work up front to make that happen. Well, I can see by the old clock on the computer that I've got a lot to say about Seth Godin's questions for free agents. So I'm going to make this a two-parter. I'm going to end part one here, and I'll be back next time with the rest of my thoughts on this topic. Sound good? All right. Thanks for listening to episode number 50. It's a milestone, this episode and this month for me. I really appreciate you listening all these years, and I'm going to keep doing this for a long time. So take care. I'll talk to you again real soon. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Artist Empowerment Radio Podcast. Like what you're hearing? For more tips and tools, visit thebuzzfactor.com.